Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Image Maker Podcast. We've got a really awesome interview for you. Today, we're interviewing Ashley Ray from Ashley Ray Studio. She's an amazing wedding photographer, shoots digital and medium format film. Her work is absolutely beautiful. You can check it out on Instagram, online, and I'm really excited to interview her and to learn from her. So without further ado, let's do this. This episode of the Image Maker Podcast is brought to you by Gear Up, the new way to buy and sell camera gear. You can download the app for free on the iOS or Android store today. Hey, Ashley, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm well. How are you, Joel?
I'm doing good. Hey, so before we start, for our listeners, can you tell us who you are, where you live, and a little bit about your business?
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Ashley Ray, and my business is Ashley Ray Studio. I run it with my husband. We are a photo and video team documenting weddings all over. And you can check out my work on my website or on Instagram. My Instagram is Ashley Ray Studio. And you spell it A-S-H-L-E-Y-R-A-E, Ashley Ray Studio. And then also on my website, ashleyray.studio instead of .com. And like I said, we're a photo video team. I'm a hybrid photographer. I shoot film and digital. We absolutely love working with our couples. We're based out of the central coast of California, San Luis Obispo. We're actually in a small town north of San Luis Obispo called Morro Bay, so which is famous for Morro Rock, if you've ever been here. Mm-hmm. And yep. We love it. It's beautiful here. We love what we do.
How's your busy life right now? Are things really busy for you, or are things a little bit slower right now because of what's going on?
Well, it's funny. My husband and I were talking about this recently, and even though we're not shooting weddings right now because of COVID-19, we're definitely keeping busy. Like right now, actually, just before I hopped on this call with you, I've been working on a wedding guide for my clients, which has taken up a lot of time, but it's been something that I've been wanting to do. So designing that in Photoshop and compiling it, and then also just keeping in touch with current clients, and definitely not bored, at least in this house.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So you've been staying busy. That's really good. How has your business been affected? I mean, are most of your weddings canceling, postponing? What are they doing for the most part?
Yeah, I mean, as many people know, everything that's been going on is hitting the wedding industry pretty hard because of events being canceled or postponed. You know, all things considered, you know, it could be worse, I feel like, for our business. I'm trying to look at the positive and think about how the weddings that we have had to reschedule, it's been pretty smooth. You know, couples have been really wonderful and understanding, and we're trying to do the same for them. So yeah, like I said, all things considered, it's been okay. You know, I'm just hoping, and it's a day by day process, seeing how things are going to play out. But I do have a lot of weddings coming up for fall that I'm hoping won't have to be rescheduled. So, you know, I'm just trying to stay positive and hope for the best.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, what I wanted to do, having you on the show, is kind of talk about, you know, how you got into photography, kind of learn a little bit more about your approach to, you know, how you shoot on the wedding day and how you work with your clients. I think a lot of our listeners could learn a lot from that. So yeah, maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, how long you've been shooting weddings for.
Sure. Well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on the show. This is real fun. What was the question again?
No worries. I was just asking you, how long have you been involved in wedding photography?
Right. Okay. So I have only been doing wedding photography actually for a few years. I want to say solid for a few years. But I've been around the wedding industry for 10, 15 years. I worked for a videography company for about 6 years before that on and off. And I worked in catering for a while. So I felt like when I launched my photography business with my husband, you know, I was really familiar with the flow of weddings, and it wasn't too nerve-wracking shooting weddings for me because I had been doing it without the pressure of being the primary vendor, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you haven't been doing it solo for too long, but, what inspired you to kind of start your own business and do it on your own?
Well, I always loved shooting weddings as a videographer, but it was actually a few years back that my brother-in-law got engaged and needed some engagement photos, and I had access to some equipment to do engagement photos. Up until that point, I had just been shooting wedding videos as an assistant, and I volunteered to do it for them for fun. And it's so funny, I look back on the photos now and like how I didn't know really what I was doing. I thought I did. And, but as I was shooting, I don't know what it is. It was like, I honestly like felt my soul go on fire. Like I just had so much fun. I absolutely loved it. I had no idea how the photos were going to turn out, but I just had like the time of my life. And I came home and raved about the experience with my husband. And honestly, it was him seeing how much I loved that session in itself, and then me talking about photography a lot after that. He bought me my first camera and lens and really encouraged me to turn it into a business. So a lot of the credit goes to him, I have to say, for encouraging me to do it and being behind the scenes throughout the whole process of growing our business as well.
That's awesome. So it was more so doing the shooting and working with people that really kind of inspired you to do this for a living. It's more so dealing with the people as opposed to seeing the final images, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, you know what? Honestly, I've always been a creative personality style, or I've always been creative, and I've always loved like art and, you know, drawing and painting, but I never felt very good at those things. Mm-hmm. But what I love about photography is in a frame, you basically have a canvas, and I've never been good at actually like painting or drawing, but I can put what I want into a frame. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a artistic expression without needing the skills of being a painter or something like that.
Sure.
So for me, I do actually really love the process of directing clients, directing couples. I mean, it's definitely something that I've had to work on and, you know, fine tune over the years. But I would say that I enjoy the editing process too, but not as much as I enjoy actually working with clients like day of the wedding or like on engagement sessions. I absolutely love shooting. So yeah, that's me personally.
Gotcha. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned that you've only been shooting weddings solo for a few years. And that's pretty surprising, really, because you've got like this pretty big following on Instagram and you have some really, really beautiful images there. And it seems like you're super busy with it. So what I'm kind of curious about is, how did you grow your business so quickly? Were there some specific steps that you took to grow your business, get it off the ground, and really turn it into a career?
That's a great question. I have to say that my husband has been a huge part of this for me. If I were launching this business by myself, I feel like I don't know where I'd be right now, but it wouldn't be nearly as far as we've gotten with his help. He does, like, for example, he's very technical, so he does our website design. He's very business oriented. And one thing I did want to mention as we chat too is just, you know, you can have a passion for photography and really love it as an artist, but so much of a photography business is the business aspect of it. So I would say that growing our business quickly, part of that was constantly analyzing what kind of brand we wanted to establish and creating something visually that speaks to clients, specific clients. So knowing who you're wanting to reach, what kind of clients you're wanting to work for, and what aesthetic you're looking for, something cohesive. I feel like there's a lot of photographers out there that I see and they love photography and they're passionate about it, but it's not always clear like what their brand is or who they're marketing to. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, that was big from the beginning. We were constantly analyzing what kind of clients do we want to serve and how can we reach those clients, whether it's through networking or the type of imagery that we produce. So I think brand and business is a big part of it. I think just constantly analyzing the business aspect of the wedding photography business. What kind of money do you want to be making? How many weddings do you want to do a year? And kind of having that all written out, and goal setting is a big thing too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's interesting. You talk about goal setting. Would you be able to share some specific goals that you've set that have helped you to kind of grow the business quickly?
Sure. Well, I definitely have to say there are different types of goals. So obviously, even now, I have goals in how to elevate my imagery. So how I shoot, how I understand photography, what kind of images I'm producing, how I'm editing. I have goals always to make my imagery better. I think that's what keeps you invested and enjoying the creative process. If you're constantly trying to analyze what you can do to bring it to another level for yourself personally and for your clients. So definitely goals in the actual imagery that I produce. I always have those goals. And then branding and the type of clients, like my ideal clients. So over the years, I've thought a lot about, well, what kind of couples do I want to be working for? Like, what kind of bride am I marketing towards? And then creating imagery that I believe will speak to that bride or speak to that couple. So that's been really helpful. I still have, you know, even now I have goals that have to do with attracting even more of a higher end client that maybe has a little bit of a higher budget than the clients I'm currently working with. So there's goals in different aspects of the business. You can set specific monetary goals, like how many weddings do I want to shoot a year at what price point? Mm-hmm. And so analyzing that, the more clear you are on your goals, like where you want to be with your business, the more you can understand what it's going to take to reach those goals and then follow a step-by-step process to get there. So that may include networking specifically towards certain like planners or other vendors, or even doing specific types of advertising if you're wanting to reach someone. So yeah, I think if that answers your questions, there's a lot of different goals that can be set in different areas of the business.
Definitely. Definitely. No, that's good. You know, I'm thinking some of our listeners may be wanting to start a photography business or a wedding photography business. What would be some advice that you would give somebody who wants to take this from a hobby to a profession? What are some steps that they could take to get the ball rolling?
Sure. Yeah. I think that a lot of photographers I've talked to who are now doing it as a career, I feel like most of them started small, and you do, like a lot of businesses, you have to start small. And if you have a passion for photography and you're wanting to get into weddings, volunteer to shoot a wedding for a friend of yours, someone you know, someone who's going to trust you. And I think that's a great place to start. There's a little less pressure if you're doing a wedding for free, like your first wedding. Or charge a little bit, depending on what you think your skill level is, but just start there. Every single photo session or wedding that you shoot, analyze what could I have done differently and what would I do better next time? So, and I still do that, honestly, years later. Every single wedding I shoot, every engagement session, I try to think of what would make me a better photographer next time. And so I think if you just start small and analyze those things along the way, you're just going to grow it. And also don't underestimate like the business side of things too. So it can start out as a little side hustle. Most photographers, I feel like they start out, it's their side hustle, you know, it's on the weekends. You're not going to become a full-time wedding photographer overnight. You have to start small. And if you enjoy it, just work at it, you know, offer great rates to get your foot in the door and get people to hire you. And then you just build it from there. And just recognize too, that it's going to take time. I think that a lot of photographers can get frustrated. I mean, I've been there too, where you feel frustrated with how your business is progressing. You want it to progress faster. You want to be shooting a certain type of wedding and you're not. But it's just like, you have to be patient with yourself and just keep chipping away at your skill. And yeah, just accept, embrace that process, try to enjoy it along the way, and just try to get better every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's really great advice. Now, what about photographers who are maybe working already in the industry, but really want to get to that next tier of bride? Like, you know, there's different areas in the wedding industry. There's like lower end weddings with lower budget couples. And so what would you say to somebody who's like kind of stuck in that tier in the wedding market that kind of wants to break out of that and enter into the higher end weddings where there's a little bit more money moving around?
Sure. I think it's twofold. I think that the wedding photography industry is very saturated. There's a lot of competition out there. So I think being honest with yourself on how to elevate your imagery. I mean, look at photographers who you in your mind are doing well, who are attracting your ideal client, maybe a more luxury, high-end couple. And look at their imagery and honestly compare, I feel like, your imagery to theirs. And instead of allowing that to get you depressed, which can be easy to do, think about how you can make your images better. I think that that's part of it. Many high-end clients are going to be looking for a certain aesthetic. And each photographer has to analyze what that is for them too. Maybe their style is more dark and moody, or their style is more light and airy. Whatever your style is, look at photographers who have a similar style who are charging more than you and see if there's a difference in imagery, if you can elevate your photos to be more attractive to clients. I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the other part of it is figuring out where those couples go, like where, how they're going to come across you. Mm-hmm. So if you can get those, the higher end clients to come across your work, and it's just as good as your, as photographers who are booking clients like that, then that's a huge start right there. So networking can be a part of that. You know,
so would that be with the wedding planners, the coordinators that have those connections, trying to get in with them and stuff,
yeah,
stuff like that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. I definitely think, there are, like, for me, for example, there's certain planners that have a very similar brand idea to what I feel I'm presenting to clients. So like try to align yourself with people who are not only better than you, but who can potentially refer you work, but also the type of work that is in line with your brand and is going to attract the type of clients you want. So, you know, there are some planners, for example, that I'm familiar with who they're charging, you know, their clients are high-end clients, but maybe it's not the style that I want, or maybe it's something, it's not in line with my brand. So I think there's this balance. Obviously, you want to get good weddings that pay you what you want, but, you know, just finding, whether it's planners or venues are a big one too, you know, getting in touch with venues that are high-end venues, getting on preferred vendor lists. And a lot of times that has to do with offering your services free in some sense. So mm-hmm. like, instead of just reaching out to people and saying, hey, I'd love for you to refer me clients, you kind of have to, you know, reach out and offer to give something of yourself first. So offer to do, you know, team photos for a planner and her assistants, or offer to do a style shoot for a new venue that you feel like is going to be at a nice price point. And maybe they'll put you on their preferred vendor list if you do that. So like, always having that goal and what's this going to do for my business. Of course, you want to be genuine and, you know, reach out to people and develop a real relationship with them, but also having that in the back of your mind, like, what can I also offer them so that they're going to be drawn to maybe referring someone to me because they know I can do a good job, for example, because they've already worked with me. I've already provided imagery for them. You know, like if you've done family photos, I've provided imagery. I've provided a bunch of flat lay photos for you. They like your work, and then maybe they'll be more inclined to actually refer a client to you.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Something else I noticed that you do a lot of are these styled shoots, which are really popular. And I just wanted to know how you, because styled shoots typically, as far as I know, are where a lot of vendors get together and do a very cool shoot and nobody's getting paid for it. So how do you leverage a styled shoot, to grow your business and get it to where you want it to be?
Right. That's a great question. I could talk about styled shoots for a long time. I am doing, the more further along I get in my business, the less styled shoots I'm doing. I think that when you're first starting out, especially if you're trying to attract a certain type of ideal client, but you're not actually shooting those types of weddings, you want to be able to gather content that speaks to that client, even though you're not shooting that style at the moment. So maybe you're shooting, you know, lower end, lower budget weddings, but you want to attract high budget brides. Well, you want to, a style shoot's a nice way to be able to get beautiful imagery. It's a more controlled environment. You have a little bit more flexibility. The nice thing about styled shoots, especially when you're very new in the business, is that it allows you to create content that you wouldn't otherwise be creating, maybe with lower budget weddings. So if your overall goal is to attract more luxury weddings, high-end, high-budget clients, and you're only shooting low budget weddings, you need to start creating content that's going to attract your ideal client. So the nice thing about styled shoots is it gives you the opportunity to really, you know, capture beautiful imagery. You can hire models, or it's a collaboration, like you said, a lot of times, and you can work with the vendors, maybe even vendors that you have, that you've been wanting to work with, but you haven't yet. So it gives you an opportunity to do some networking there. But I definitely think it's more valuable doing styled shoots early on in your business. As you get more into what you do, hopefully those styled shoots that you did early on will start to pay off, and you will be attracting the type of clients that you want to work with, and you will be shooting those weddings. So your need to do styled shoots are less, and which is nice because styled shoots obviously take time, they take money, there's a lot involved. So, you know, it's nice to invest in that in the beginning for content reasons. And then even later, like, I still do styled shoots now for specific reasons. And I only do them if it's an aesthetic that's in line with my brand, if it's going to get me on a preferred vendor list, or it's going to get me to work with someone who could potentially refer me work or allow me to work with someone that I want to work with. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, I did a styled shoot earlier this year, and it allowed me to get on a preferred vendor list. And I've already booked, I want to say three weddings for photo and video under Ashley Ray Studio at that venue. Because of that style shoot, because of the relationship I made with the venue manager and being able to be on that preferred vendor list. So it can be super, super beneficial, but I also will warn photographers about doing style shoots just to do them. I think that a lot of people just do them without a business goal in mind. And I think you're going to go a lot farther if you do style shoots and you're very specific in the beginning of what it can do for your business. And don't do it if it's not going to bring you to another level in your business that you want to be at.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Very cool. I want to tell you guys about a new free app for buying and selling camera gear. If you're like me, you've been frustrated for a long time trying to sell gear on eBay with all the fraud. And it's time for a new platform to buy and sell your gear. This app is called GearUp. It was designed for photographers and filmmakers. The user interface is super clean and easy to use. You can list gear in seconds, and you can ship your gear anywhere in the US. Download the free app in the App Store today. So I want to kind of transition a little bit into how you shoot. And I noticed that you've been shooting a lot of film lately. Is that right?
Yes, I am absolutely in love with film.
Interesting. So you started off shooting digital, and have you completely transitioned over to film? Are you still shooting both? What's the thought process there?
Right. So I shoot both. I'm considered a hybrid photographer, shoot digital and film. I personally feel like it's a great place to be, because what I tell couples is that for film, there's certain situations throughout a wedding day where film really shines. So film does amazing in light, like in good light. Like, it's very soft. It's very, I don't know how to explain it really, except it's just prettier than digital. but you know, digital has an advantage on film in other areas too, where, you know, you can have that fast autofocus. So for moments that are happening really quickly, like when a couple is walking down the aisle after the ceremony and you have like 3 seconds to capture that movement, you know, digital is really great for that. Digital is great in low light compared to film. So it's nice to be able to have both, because I think film really creates the most beautiful imagery, but digital allows you to document. For me personally, it allows me to document more comprehensively, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So throughout the wedding day, do you have specific times that you're shooting film? Like, do you do all the portraits in film? Do you do all reception stuff digital? What's your approach there?
So I like to do like a lot of my detail photography in film. So I'm just working through like the beginning of the day. So, you know, when I style the invitation suite, or I do some getting ready photos, if they're out. Also, a lot of times I'll pull the bride outside in better light, so that like if her mom's helping her into her dress, after she puts it on, mostly I can shoot it on film outside. And then anything that is an outdoor light, that's good light, I try to shoot in film. And then anything that's happening real quickly, I shoot in digital, if that makes sense. So ceremony, I'll do a lot of shots. I'll do both, like half and half. But in the moments of couples walking down the aisle and anything, like I said, anything that happens quickly, I shoot digital. But I always shoot film during like sunset hour, golden hour for portraits. So bridal portraits, mm-hmm. Or couples portraits, I should say. And family photos, I do digital, but sometimes I'll throw a little film in there. It kind of just depends on a few different factors, but throughout the day, it's pretty much a mix, but I like to shoot the couple mostly in film, just the couple.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can definitely see the difference there. The film, just the color is just a lot more vibrant, it feels like, and it's almost like a buttery texture that you can just almost touch with the film images. And so you're shooting, are you shooting 35 millimeter or are you shooting medium format?
I shoot medium format. Yeah.
Okay. So you don't shoot any 35 millimeter?
I don't, but you know, I am open to incorporating that at some point. I just haven't yet. I know there's a lot of film photographers who do both. So,
what's the choice, or what's the thought process behind going medium format? Is there something specific about the medium format that that you like?
Well, medium format, as far as I know, obviously there's like large format cameras, but that's not as practical. There, you just can't, they're huge and the image file is gigantic and they're incredibly expensive to process, but medium format allows you to get, I feel like, just as beautiful imagery, but the scale of the images is a bit smaller. And then if you go down to 35 millimeter, it's even smaller, you know? So the quality, right. Like, if you're wanting to print images, like medium format is just a really nice format to be able to print images. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I feel like it's kind of the go-to. I honestly got into it because I always do a lot of research before I get into any other types of photography. And, you know, the most wedding photographers use that medium format. I feel like it's the most practical. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
So the camera that you're using is what brand medium format camera are you using?
I use the Contax 645, but I think that, you know, a lot of photographers too can get a very similar look with a less expensive camera, like a Pentax or something like that, and a nice lens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So shooting with that, I've never shot medium format personally, but my understanding is that it's completely manual, right? Everything is completely 100% manual. You have to choose your aperture, choose your shutter speed, and focus manually, correct?
Yes. So it on my Contax, it does have an autofocus button, but it's not necessarily like the most reliable. So you can use the autofocus button to get you close to where you want to focus, but you pretty much do adjust manually. So again, it kind of goes back to like when there's a lot of movement. So if a couple is moving towards you very quickly and you're manually focusing during all that, you know, time, it can be more likely that you're going to miss focus versus if you're shooting with digital where it can autofocus as the couple is moving, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I feel, and obviously the more experienced people who have been shooting film for a long, long time have gotten really good at that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, at that manual focus, but it's definitely something that is a challenge with film photography versus digital. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. I was curious about that because obviously with a larger, you know, format, like medium format, that actually creates even shallower depth of field, right? So when I see a lot of your film images, it looks like that the depth of field is like paper thin. So I was just curious, like how many challenges there are, you know, making sure that everything's in focus. And do you shoot with your lens wide open or do you stop down your aperture?
Yeah, for this specific reason, I don't shoot. I mean, with the lens I have for my film camera, it's a Zeiss 80mm. You can go down to, well, it's a different numbering system than the digital lenses.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can go down to 2.0 on my lens, which in digital terms would be like a 1.2 or 1.0. So wow. I don't ever go down to that unless I have to because of lighting.
Okay. So you're not typically shooting wide open. You're stopped down.
I typically shoot at 4.0.
Okay.
Probably is my most common point, but that would be kind of like more of a 2.0 in the digital lens.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's all circumstantial, you know?
Right. Yeah. But that helps you, with focus and it gives you a little bit more depth of field to work with. So that helps you, right? Because I mean, I would assume that with shooting film, you want to make sure that everything's in focus because when you get that back, the last thing you want when you get that film back is to see everything soft. So
Right. Well, the nice thing is film is already like organically soft. So you can shoot at a...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can shoot at a higher aperture and it's still going to look soft. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah.
But you do have that option to shoot at a lower aperture too. So, you know, and then also to film, even if you do miss focus sometimes, it still looks really good. That's the nice thing about film versus digital. I feel like if somehow you miss focus a little bit, it still is a pretty image. You can get away with a more out of focus image with film than you can with digital, I feel.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah. It's like when it blows out of focus, the bokeh is more beautiful. Or something
See, and then a lot of film photographers will do it on purpose and be out of, I mean, there's all different looks that you can go for, but I feel like in the aesthetic, you can get away with a little bit more error with film because it's already just so beautiful. I don't know.
Yeah. Totally. And maybe for some listeners that are shooting film, is there a specific lab that you recommend that you send your film off to that's really great to work with?
Yeah. Well, when I was getting into film, I sent film off to probably 5 different film labs, including some of the like the biggest film labs that are used. I won't mention any names. Uh-huh. But my favorite film lab that I landed on, not only for the price, but for the aesthetic, like the scans and the customer service, is Goodman Film Labs. So I use Goodman. They're based in Irvine, California. Mm-hmm. Their turnaround times, because I think they're a smaller operation than some of the bigger places, their turnaround times are a little longer during wedding season. So it can't, I mean, in their quickest times, you can get scans back in about 4 to 5 days, but during heavy, when they're busy, it can be about 2 weeks versus a lot of other labs that are 3 to 4 days, but they're exceptional. I love my, and they're very consistent and they work with you. And it all depends too on the type of, you know, look you like, and everyone's different, but that's been my personal favorite. And so I landed on them. I like I said, I sent out to a bunch of labs and now I only use Goodman.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about how that process works, because, you know, I did 35 millimeter in college, only black and white. So I did some of the developing myself, but I don't really know the process of medium format color. So what exactly does a lab do when they get your film?
So I'm not sure if I'm the best person to answer that. I don't know much. I should know more about the developing process, but you know, I send in the rolls to the lab and you can order. So most labs, you can order basic or premium scans. So basic scans, you know, labs use either Noritsu or Frontier scanner. So there's 2 different types of scanners and you can actually research which scanner picks up on how it picks up on colors differently a little bit. But typically you send it in, they scan it. And then if you order just basic scans, which are typically cheaper, then they just deliver to you those scans as they've been inputted into the computer, as they've come in from the scanner. But if you order premium, they will do some of the editing for you. So you send them a color, like you send them a handful of images, or you fill out a color profile on their website to help them see the kind of look that you're going for with your film images. And then if you order premium scans, they will try to match those scans to the colors that you're going for. And so honestly, that's the other awesome thing about film is when you order premium scans, when they come back to you, there's very little that needs to be changed versus digital, like editing or raw file is, there's just way more you have to do to it than getting back a premium scan. There's very, very few adjustments. So it saves you, even though it's more expensive to shoot film and develop it, it saves you a lot of time during editing.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. So one more thing I wanted to kind of talk about is, for those that love gear, is what kind of gear you're using. I know you mentioned you, with all the film stuff, you're shooting with the Contax 645. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the digital gear that you work with and why you've chosen it, why you love it, stuff like that.
Sure. So Ashley Ray Studio, our company, is a photo and video company for weddings. So I am the lead photographer under the business and my husband does cinematography for couples. So we have different gear for both of those things. Like you said, I shoot with the Contax for film. I shoot with a Canon 5D Mark IV for digital. And honestly, I mean, I shot with the Mark III, which is wonderful. You can get very similar results. But what I love about the Mark IV is the touchscreen.
Okay.
So what's nice about the touchscreen is that you can shoot at all sorts of different angles without making sure it's eye level to you, if that makes sense. So you can hold the camera a foot above your head and see the screen and push on the screen to take a photo. You don't have to actually, you can frame it that way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So I love that because it allows me to be a lot more versatile in my angles because I don't actually have to look through the viewfinder.
Right.
I can just click on the screen. And then, so I use the Mark IV, Canon Mark IV. And then my husband uses the Lumix GHS, I think.
That's GH5S.
Thank you. GH5S. Yeah. And I couldn't tell you anything. I honestly couldn't tell you much about those cameras. That's his department, but it works really well for us. And again, it's like, you know, we personally have invested a lot in our gear for different reasons, but, and I think you mentioned it in a previous podcast that I listened to, that, you know, you can get similar effects with less expensive equipment, especially as you're starting out. Mm-hmm. And of course you want to have backups, backup cameras too, when you're shooting weddings. So, but that's what we use.
And in terms of lenses for your Mark IV, are you using L series glass?
Yes. Yes, I am. And the primary lens, I have a variety of lenses, but the primary ones probably I shoot with are the 50 1.2 and the 35 1.4. Those are my two favorite lenses. I used to shoot a lot with the 70 to 200 L series, but I just don't use that as much anymore. And then I have like 100mm micro that I've used for ring shots, and the 85mm 1.4, I have that. It's a beautiful lens. It's a wonderful lens. And I'll use that, or I'll have my second shooter use that to get a little bit more cropped in angle during ceremony, for example. But if I had to walk away with two lenses, it would be the 35 and the 50.
What is it that you like about those focal lengths? The wider, a little bit more wider, and the 50?
The 50, I feel, well, the reason why I like the 50 is because my 80mm film lens is very similar to the 50mm. So like usually on my person for a wedding, I have my film camera, my Contax 645 with the 80mm lens. And then I have my Mark IV with the 50mm lens. And that gives me a very similar focal length shooting through both cameras. So, and the 50mm, I feel like gives you, I don't know, it's just, and I think we've talked about this before, but it's very similar to, like, it doesn't, I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it's kind of similar to what we see with the naked eye. So it gives you a very real, I feel like, perception. It's nothing, I can't stand really wide lenses for the type of photography that I do, where you get some of that lens distortion. So you don't have any of that lens distortion on the 50mm, but you're also not too cropped in where you have to keep backing up and backing up. You can get close enough and not be in somebody's face. It just is a nice, it gives you a nice distance to move within between you and your subject, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then the 35mm is very similar to the 50mm. It's just a little wider. So I personally love that for like family photos. So when I'm doing large group photos, I don't really care for the 24mm look, because you do get some of that distortion. But I feel like 35 gets you wide enough to where you can fit everything you need in the frame, but you're not getting any of that distorted look in your image.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, that's super, super, super helpful. I think we're getting close to the end here. I know I didn't prepare you for this, but I want to do a rapid fire series of five questions to get to know you a little bit more. It's called the Fast Five. You ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Number one, what do you do for fun?
Oh, go to the beach with my dog.
Okay, sweet. You live right on the beach, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, all right, right on the beach. Close enough.
Close enough. Okay. Within walking distance. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of people get to live that close to the beach.
I know. It's a blessing for sure. I love it.
Awesome. Okay, number two. Any books you're loving right now, or a favorite book that you've read?
Ooh, a couple books that I've read that I really like are Who Moved My Cheese? It's a business book.
Okay.
Super easy, short read. And then recently I've been reading Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis.
What's that about?
So she's like a blogger influencer, and she talks about just the challenges with running a business and kind of overcoming the challenges of being your worst enemy when you are trying to succeed at something. So, and it's fun. It's a fun read. She keeps it lively.
Very cool. Very cool. One of my favorite books I've read recently is Shoe Dog. You ever heard of Shoe Dog?
No, I'll have to look it up.
It's about the guy who started Nike. It's his journey building Nike from the ground up. It's like a wild story. The fact that Nike even exists today is like mind-blowing. You got to read it. Wow. It's really good.
That's awesome.
Okay. All right. Next question. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I really like the movie The Prestige.
Oh, The Prestige, the Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, that was good.
That guy kills it. Every movie he makes seems to be good.
Yeah, really good.
What's been the funnest quarantine activity that you've done so far?
I'm going to have to circle back to number one and say walking on the beach with my dog.
Oh, so it's still legal to do that.
It is. Well, it's funny because technically they've closed the beaches so that you can't like access the parking lots to the main beaches, but you can, so it's like a method to prevent tourism, but you know, locals and anyone who parks in a spot where you can access the beach, you can still go. So my husband and I do that almost every other day.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. What's the best purchase you've made recently on Amazon?
Amazon. It has to be Amazon.
Well, it could be whatever, but everyone shops on Amazon right now. Yeah, whatever.
Okay. So I made a purchase and it literally just came today from the styling mat. Okay.
What is that?
So if any of you know me and my photography style, there's a lot of emphasis placed on like styling details for wedding day. So there is a company called The Styling Mat and they hand make styling boards for you. So I purchased a 4-in-1 styling board and it's a case on the outside. It's a velvet cover. One side is like a blush pink. The other side is white. And there's a board inside that has two different colored watercolor backgrounds. So I'm going to start bringing it when I start shooting weddings again. I'm going to bring it with me on weddings. And depending on the color palette of the wedding, I pick the background that I want to use to style anything from invitation suites to bridal shoes to jewelry to groom's accessories, all that kind of stuff. So it came in right before I started chatting with you and it's beautiful. And I've ordered ring boxes from them too. So I'm ordering stuff for my styling kit that I take to weddings during quarantine.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. Well, that sounds awesome. Super good. So we're getting close to the end of the show here. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? You got an Instagram website. How can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Ashley Ray Studio, AshleyRae Studio. Mm-hmm. And then my website is ashleyray.studio. Instead of .com. So you can find me, you can look at my work on my website or Instagram and easily get in touch with me that way.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you so much, Ashley Ray, for coming on the show. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me, Joel. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye. Bye-bye. This episode of the Image Maker Podcast has been sponsored by Gear Up. Gear Up is a new free app for buying and selling camera gear. If you're like me, you've been super frustrated when it comes to buying and selling gear on eBay and on Craigslist. This new app is super easy to use. It's beautiful and you can list gear in seconds, sell it, and ship it anywhere in the US. Download the free app in the App Store for Apple or Android today.